In this episode of the Todd Wright Toddcast, something a little different. We'll try more than just one talking point. As a matter of fact, I'm going to offer you six talking points on various different things. Let me thank Brandon Legal Group for their continued support of my podcast and my golf tournaments. They asked me to convey a very simple message to adult males residing in the state of Florida. It has now been over one calendar year since Governor Ron DeSantis signed into Florida law the elimination of permanent alimony. That's right, the elimination of permanent alimony for residents of the state of Florida. So if you are an adult male and you reside in the state of Florida and you continue to pay permanent alimony, you are just wasting your money and your time by not contacting Brandon Legal Group to get help, to have your financial obligation alleviated or eliminated altogether. 813-902-3576 for a free consult, or visit brandonlegalgroup.com. Stop paying permanent alimony. Tampa Bay Downs Golf Practice Facility. A lot of exciting things happening here in the coming weeks and months. As we continue through the summer, they continue with their longtime junior golf summer camps, 150 per week, 9 a.m. to 12 noon, Monday through Thursday, right there at the facility. To sign up, please go to tampabaydowns.com/golf or eventbrite.com. Ages are 6 through 13. Upcoming camps are the week of July 15th, July 22nd, July 29th, and August 5th. As I have said multiple times on my podcast before about these camps, for those of you saying, Todd, you're the wrong person to endorse a camp. We know you have a golf background. You have no kids. You know nothing about kids. I've been around these camps for many, many years, and know the people and the employees of the Downs that run these camps. And a number of my exes with kids have put their kids in these camps. It's all good. It's all fun. Again, tampabaydowns.com/golf or eventbrite.com for camp information and registration. Also, as it relates to Tampa Bay Downs Golf Practice Facility, Joey DePompo, Director of Golf, fits players for lab golf putters at the facility. I do not own a lab golf putter, but a friend of mine does that I played golf with on Thursday. And he was making some really big putts in a tournament that we were playing in on the 4th of July at Plantation Palms Golf Club. So I see it work. I see what it means for someone I've played golf with for many years. If you have heard about lab golf putters and want to know where to go to find out more information, you go to Tampa Bay Downs Golf and you talk to Joey DePompo, the director of golf. Email write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Let me offer you six different talking points for this particular Todd Wright Toddcast. The first one actually has to do with one of my other podcasts. I now have official word that the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast has been picked up for season 9. Pretty amazing, considering I talked in a previous Todd Wright Toddcast about how I never wanted to do these in the first place. And here we just got picked up for season 9, 55 episodes of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Premiere date to be announced. Hooters, once again, specific to the original Hooters brand in the greater Tampa Bay area, which owns and operates 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area, will again be the title sponsor. And as always, the podcast will be free because Original Hooters is paying the bills They have picked it up for season 9. I thank them. I thank JoeBucksFan.com. 9 seasons is a lot. Bewitched only got 8 seasons. The Andy Griffith Show only got 8 seasons. Home Improvement, That 70s Show, Who's the Boss? Mannix, Different Strokes, Desperate Housewives, Barnaby Jones, Charmed, Three's Company, L.A. Law, Wings was a good show. Barney Miller, my grandfather loved that. Magnum P.I. How did Brooklyn Nine-Nine get 8 seasons? Simon and Simon, Mom, Nick Bakay involved with that show. They only got 8 seasons. We got 9. We're in Seinfeld territory now. We're in Love Boat territory now. Picked up with our 9th season. Much of what we do is before your fantasy draft. So more updates to come, but the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast has been picked up for a 9th season, and I'm very grateful. Speaking of football, the new kickoff will obviously change some things in ways that we need to see to comprehend in the upcoming National Football League season. Hang time now means nothing. Touchbacks will go from roughly 80% down significantly. And there are coaches who are worried that there will be too many big plays out of the new kickoff. A longtime listener of this podcast brought my attention to something that Warren Sharp posted recently on Twitter X. And I see a lot of cool things from Warren Sharp on Twitter X, but I missed this one. Warren stated, teams win 64% of games they score first. So they obviously lose 36% of games when allowing opponents to score first. This is over the last 10 years. This is not just last season. This is the last 10 years. Once again, teams that score first win 64% of the time. Warren then detailed the number of games a team has scored first the last 2 years. The best. Baltimore, Philadelphia. Yeah, last 2 years, they've done a pretty good amount of winning. 22 times a team has scored first the last 2 years. Cleveland, which actually even the year before wasn't that bad. I think they've won 18 games over the last 2 years. San Francisco and Detroit. Dallas scored first 21 times the last 2 years. And it's funny to see the Chargers there at 20 because it just shows you how much Brandon Staley freaking sucked. Kansas City, by the way, at 19. So you combine that and these numbers with the new kickoff and the ability to get better field position than just the 25. And you wonder, at least in the regular season, will we start to see some coaches win the toss and receive rather than defer? Defer has become the standard. But was that the Patriot way? Was that the get the last score of the first half, get the ball, get the first score of the second half? What does Tom Brady call that? Like the middle 10, last 5, first 5 minutes of the game where you win it. You know, we've seen a lot of holes in the Patriot way recently. We see a lot of head coaches connected with the Patriot way who don't have jobs. And I have my doubts that Jared Mayo, who looks like he's going to do it the Patriot way with the Patriots, is going to be successful. All it takes is one or two coaches to suddenly win the opening coin toss and take the ball and score first and be successful for other coaches to think, yeah, I want to score first too. Keep an eye on it. Speaking of scoring first, while Dallas is sixth on this list over the last 2 years of number of games where a team scored first with 21, a problem with Dak Prescott has been his ability to score first or do much of anything in the first half of 6 of his 7 playoff games. He's 2-5 in the postseason, and even in one of those wins, he went 3 and out on the first 2 possessions against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Fortunately for him, the Buccaneers essentially did the same thing. It took until the 5th possession for either team, a combined four possessions, basically 3 and out, or just about there, until Dallas got the ball the third time, went down, put some points on the board, and then ran away in sending Tom Brady into retirement. Dak doesn't hit the ground running in these playoff games. They seem to be bigger than he is. He doesn't get the jump. And it's what's held him back. And it's why I understand what Dallas is doing. And why I shake my head when others say they don't understand why Dallas has not signed Dak Prescott to a contract extension. Some of these people are the same ones that shake their heads about what was Denver thinking with the Russell Wilson deal? What were the Rams thinking with the Jared Goff contract? Why would the Dolphins pay Tua? Well, better example, why did the Jaguars do what they did with Trevor Lawrence? You can't have it both ways. Now, I get that having people in the last year of their contract, especially when it's your head coach and your quarterback, isn't a good thing. Maybe there was a better way to handle this. But yeah, I'm on board. This is Dak's last chance. This is McCarthy's last chance for Dallas to show they can contend and win a Super Bowl with these people. Because they haven't looked the part. So why would you want to attach yourself to a quarterback who can't do it? People ask, well, who are you going to get? That's a separate question. If the person you have can't do it, why would you overpay to keep that going? You have, he's 31 years old now. You have a large sample size here. So I agree that Dak shouldn't receive a contract extension with the Cowboys. He can earn that by his performance this year and getting Dallas to actual Super Bowl contending status, which he has not done. And if he can't do it, then Dallas needs to find someone else who can. The Tampa Bay Lightning clearly feel they can contend for Stanley Cups without their longtime captain and former number one overall draft pick, Steven Stamkos. Many Lightning fans are upset about Stamkos being gone. They want blood as it relates to Julien Brisebois, the general manager of the Lightning. That's what fans do. They act emotionally. They didn't bother to take a look at a lot of things that led up to July 1st. So they were blindsided when the Lightning did other things and didn't offer Stamkos a deal that Stamkos wanted to stay. I understood it. Only time will tell if it was the right move. If the Lightning keep losing in the first round of the playoffs, which they've done the last 2 years, people will say, well, if they had Stamkos, maybe they would have been able to make another cup run. Especially if Nashville, and you notice they added more than just Stamkos, ascends higher in the Western Conference and pushes for another Stanley Cup run, their first since 2017. They have no cup in Nashville. Nashville had the money and the motivation to go after Steven Stamkos. This is an organization in Nashville that has a number of significant former Lightning employees in the front office. They also had two of their top four forward contracts expire on July 1st, creating money for Stamkos and former Lightning and Cup winner with Vegas, Jonathan Marchessault. They have Barry Trotz, who seems to know what he's doing. So yeah, time will tell. I get it from Nashville's standpoint, and I get it from Tampa Bay's standpoint, who felt that they could do more with $8 million per season over the next 4 years than continue to keep their longtime captain employed and working on that left faceoff dot on the power play and sustained offensive possessions, perhaps feeling that he wasn't doing enough elsewhere on the ice, perhaps feeling that Kucherov and his wonderful distribution skills should be credited for many of those Steven Stamkos goals, and that his complete game was not there to justify a heavy investment on a strap team. And instead, they spend that money on a younger player who they feel will be stronger in more parts of the ice in Jake Guentzel. I took some shit from some people in the golf community when I talked about the Valspar, the 2024 Valspar Champions performance at the Masters. Well, let's update that, shall we? So let's go all the way back. The Valspar Championship, held at the Innisbrook Resort, was won by a player who was ranked roughly 170-ish, 180-ish in the world. It was the latest example of the Valspar Championship having a less than stellar field, which means that more players who are less than stellar have an opportunity to put together four rounds of golf to win that tournament. Taylor Moore did it a couple of years ago, and you might not have heard that name since he did it. Not household. Nothing of significance since. The 2024 winner went to the Masters a few weeks later, missed the cut. One criticism of what I said about the Valspar champion missing the cut was, wasn't that expected the first time somebody plays the Masters? 10 first-time Masters competitors made the cut. 10. Yeah. Valspar champion wasn't one of them. In subsequent majors this year, the 2024 Valspar champion has also missed the cut. There's one more major left. But in the three major championships played since the Valspar championship, the Valspar champion has gone MC. That's now a run of 34 straight majors where the Valspar champion has not finished in the top 10. And we're talking the Valspar champion for that calendar year. 34. The last Valspar champion to go out later that calendar year and actually show up and contend in a major championship was 2015 Jordan Spieth, who went 1-1-4-2 in those four majors. In addition, in lesser PGA Tour events played the last 3 weeks, the 2024 Valspar champion has gone DFL, dead frickin' last, DFL, dead frickin' last, and MC at the John Deere. In the two DFLs, he finished a combined 42 shots behind the winner in those two events. And since winning the Valspar Championship in tour competitive rounds, he is 41 over par. Last one as it relates to one of my favorite things about pro wrestling. We had the Money in the Bank pay-per-view over the weekend. It was fun to watch. I was at the first ever Money in the Bank, quote, pay-per-view event or feature event back when they were called pay-per-views. And I know some people still pay-per-view them, but I have Peacock. Most people do. You know, it's part of your subscription. You just watch it like the other events. I was at the first one in Kansas City. I always loved this event. I thought the match was a good concept. It was unique, and I liked what was at stake. The briefcase is just a symbol of what it means. If you have the case, you're allowed to trade the case for a title shot basically anytime you want. There are some time limits on it. There are some other restrictions, but basically no other... Nothing else in sports entertainment has this. You earn the right to pick your spot and try to win a championship. The one flaw in the Money in the Bank world can be easily corrected. Some will say it will dilute it. But you don't have to dilute it. Would we all agree, for those of you that know what I'm talking about here and have stayed with me, others have already clicked out because this is the last thing I'm bringing up in sort of my six-pack here of thoughts. Having someone with that briefcase always keeps shows more interesting because you just never know. Now, the writers with WWE, they know. We know it's not going to happen in a dark match. We know it's probably not going to happen on Raw or SmackDown. We know it's probably not going to happen at the lesser, quote, pay-per-views. It usually happens at Mania. Sometimes it happens same night as this year with McIntyre winning, cashing, losing. But it's more fun when it's that element of the unknown. Could they show up? Could this be the night? Could we see a sudden change of who has the championship? So the fact that McIntyre won it, cashed it, lost it, takes that element out now, presumably for a year, at least on the men's side, which is kind of all I care about. Here's my proposal to WWE. Do what Survivor does, the CBS show with Probst. And there's something to be said about what Survivor does because it's been around for 47 seasons and just keeps going. They have what's called a hidden immunity idol. And it's specific to each tribe. And at the beginning of the show, there are three tribes, so there are three idols. And then we get down to, you know, sometimes we get down to two tribes, and sometimes then we get down to one, the merge. And then there's, once the idols go out of play, someone is voted off with them, which happened a ton this past season. Or they play it. A new idol is immediately put in play. It's out there to be found, owned, used. WWE, figure out a way to do that with the briefcase. I know you can't have multiple MITB feature events, but can we have more MITB matches? You don't need to base a whole event around it, but you can have the match and keep the briefcase in play because it creates more possibilities. It creates more drama. It creates more never know. It's just a really cool accessory and a part of those shows. So as one briefcase is cashed, the next show, or somewhere in the next week or even month, we're going to put together another match, and someone else is going to win the briefcase, and it's always going to be in play. I offer you the six-pack of thoughts because I'm doing a bunch of different things this summer. Some things I'm doing that I normally don't do, and some things I'm not doing that I normally do. This was the only six-pack this summer that I've had anything to do with. I gave up beer for the summer. I'm 8 weeks in, and I gotta tell you, I don't miss it. There's not a lot of taste there. So, this was your summer six-pack, and the only one that I have anything to do with right now. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and by Tampa Bay Downs Golf Practice Facility. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.